Lou, are you there?
Are you really on live Facebook? Oh, yeah, there you are.
Hey, hi, Lou. What do you think of my new glasses, by the way?
Let me see. Hold on.
They're kind of enormous, but I'm not real self-conscious about it. I selected them because I wanted a big, bold look.
It's cool. They come with defrosters, too.
That's real funny, Steve.
Those are the same glasses that I used to have. You just want to be like me.
Amen to that. Let me finish this thought, fellas. Friday, 22 degrees. Saturday, you've heard this, right? Clouds and sun and 42. Sunday, 50 degrees. Monday, light rain and 51 degrees. It is right now as warm, as hot in Australia, South Africa, as it is cold in the Midwest. In fact, they are breaking the records there for heat that we are breaking here for cold. Here are some of the temperatures in South Australia. In Terracola, Australia, 118. At the Ceduna Airport in Australia, 119. In Grasscop, 120. I think the record high they've hit is 122 degrees. That's not the heat index. That's the thermometer in Australia. Mary Schmeek said that the best tip she's heard is to sandwich a plastic bag between two pair of socks. And that will keep your feet drier and warmer if you do that. The Tribune photographers have posted online their pictures of the city with the smoke wisping off of the tall buildings and the white apron of ice that we have on the lakeshore. It's amazing to see the ducks dipping their heads in the water, fishing for food right, or something like that. But I guess my point is that we're going to get through this. Lou Manfredini is here to answer some questions for you. By the way, Lou, I also wanted to mention to you, in the cabinet above our microwave, we have frost. We have frost. Yeah. There's actual frost in there. Is that unusual?
No, because, you know, the metal venting goes straight outside, and the convection is just coming and it's drawing in. So if you leave the cabinet doors open, they get a little more heat from the room in there.
Yeah.
That would be good.
I guess so. Yeah, we've done that anyway. Even on the interior faucets, we've opened up the cabinet doors just to keep the air kind of circulating any place in the house. Seems to be a good idea. If you have a question for Lou about what to do.
Can we not turn the camera? It bothers me when I'm looking at Facebook. Can't we turn? Wouldn't you be better off if we turn the camera sideways?
Oh, should we turn the camera sideways, Jazz? Ella?
Does that do anything? Because right now I'm just seeing this rectangle. Wouldn't you be a wide load if you turned it the other way, or does that not work that way?
I don't know. Then will I be sideways? You know, this is a radio show, first and foremost.
I know, that's what I said.
So I'm not so interested in your fine tune. Everybody's a director, Lou. Just answer the questions on the radio here, all right?
Then. Never mind. I like that better.
And our time is up.
Yeah. What about Steve Bertrand? Do you know much about this? Steve has a vehicle and they...
So we have a VW that's about 13 years old or so. Yeah. And probably, you know, Sharon's not going to drive it around today, but I suggest that she go out and start it, let it run for a while just to make sure it starts. No. She had read an article that said that's a bad idea.
Just leave it. I told people this... you know, I'm going to back up to when I was a wee lad. I'm the son of a mechanic. So I grew up in the car business before I was Mr. Fix-It on the house.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to take that car anywhere, the oil and the brakes and the brake fluid and all that kind of stuff, just leave the car. It's fine. If you have to go somewhere, you know, the trick is, sure, you want to start it up. If you're in a hurry, then when you start it, if it's an automatic transmission, you want to put it in neutral if you're in a hurry, to kind of warm up that fluid before you go. But if you're not going to go anywhere, what did you say, John? It's going to be 50 by the weekend?
Oh, my gosh, 51.
Drive then.
Well, can you believe that?
But she'll want to go somewhere maybe tomorrow or something, though.
That's fine. Volkswagen start it tomorrow.
Beetle? Really? Mm-hmm. Those cars are notoriously, they have terrible heaters, don't they?
No, no, that would be, well, that would be the old VW.
Well, this is an old one, right, Steve?
No, I mean, I think it's 2003.
Oh, I thought it was like a 1968 or something like that, which would have been so fun.
By the way, we both knew the article suggested against it, and yet we did it anyway.
Right.
Kathy has a question on line one, fellas. Kathy, you're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you, Kathy? Hi.
Hi, John. I love your show. And Lou, I love your show. I hate getting up early on Saturday mornings, but I do because I love to listen to you. You're so educational.
God
Thank
bless you.
You. Okay, my question is, I have a single-family home, and my front door is frozen shut. I can't open it. I'm wondering, can I take, like, a DW-40 spray or silicone spray? Do you think that might help?
Well,
spray it on the inside?
It may or may not. The thing is that you probably have moisture around the gasket where the door seals.
Sure.
Are you able to unlock the door?
Yes, it will unlock. It just won't open. I don't want to tug too hard on the doorknob.
So here's what I would do. If you have a small space heater, place it on the inside of the door a couple feet away and just point it at the door. Is it a wood door? Is it a metal door? What is it?
Metal door.
Put it against the door about 2 feet away. Give it a half an hour, and I bet you'll be able to open the door.
Okay, and what about the DW-40 or silicone spray?
The WD-40, you could do that. I would just put it on a rag, though. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't spray it. Spray a little on a rag. You could also do the same thing with mineral oil if you have that as well. And just wipe the gasket around the weather stripping of the door, and that should keep it from sticking again.
Oh, excellent. Okay, great. Thank you. And I'll get up on Saturday morning again to listen to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Presumably she'll be able to get out between now and then. That's kind of crazy. You're stuck inside. Yeah. Dave, you're on WGN Radio. You have a question or comment. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks, guys. I love listening to you guys. I got a quick question. With this cold weather, I got a bedroom I'm not using. Should I keep the door closed and maybe turn off the vent? And same thing with the basement. Should I leave the vent open or closed?
Actually, I'm an advocate and a proponent of keeping everything open because, especially with forced air systems, it all has to do with return air, supply, and return. And when you close off bedrooms and you close off vents, you kind of mess with the overall balancing of the system. If you want to close those vents a little bit, I wouldn't close them more than 50%, but I would leave the doors open. For people with second floors that are super warm, if you have one furnace in your home and the second floors are really warm and the first floor and basement is colder, you can close those vents on the second floor by about 50%. But leave everything open so that we're circulating all the air throughout. I can't stress enough the importance of moving the air around to be more comfortable. Whether it's ceiling fans or using a box fan in a corner, that will really help.
Well, it's tempting, but Lou says keep it all open, keep the whole house warm or warmer rather than having some cold dead spots for the sake of airflow. Okay, it's 1:18. Thank you for the call. Thank you, Lou. Stay right there. We'll be back in a minute. This is WGN.
Let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore.
We are experimenting with Facebook. Jazz, are we live on Facebook right now? We are live streaming? Okay, that's good to know.
Well, they don't see you.
What's the matter, Steve?
If you're in parts of the loop, you know, ComEd is dealing with some sporadic outages, and we just got word of the latest one is in the loop this afternoon. It involves about 400 customers, so that you know, that could be an untold number of people. The good news is a lot of these buildings are virtually empty today. But
yeah, no kidding.
The latest outage is in the loop. About 400 customers will keep you updated on that.
Lou, that's talking about this yesterday. If people lose electricity or power, then they lose heat, obviously, right?
That was really my biggest fear. I think earlier there was a report in McHenry, there were some homes out. I thought I heard that earlier. And it's really tough when that occurs because now no heat, no way to run the furnace, no way to ignite a furnace. Hopefully if people have a fireplace, they could perhaps light a fire and do something like that. But that was really my biggest concern. I'm grateful to hear so far that has not been an issue.
Should you light a fire if you have a fireplace? I hear sometimes that draws more heat out of your, or you know, more cold air into your house.
Yeah, no, Steve, lighting a fire is the worst thing you can do to heat your home because it uses all the warm air in the space for combustion and it actually draws it out. So it's almost like a net because you do get some radiant heat off the fireplace, but you're better off to just, you know, a lot of people will complain that, wow, this fireplace is really cold. You know, a lot of people have metal inserts. Take a blanket and tape it up over the whole thing with weather like this, literally, to cover it up to cut the draft.
But if I have a fireplace, say everything else is working fine, and it gets warm around the fireplace, is more heat going up the flue, or am I getting more heat?
It's a net.
So it's even.
Meaning that you're burning combustion air that you've heated, which is drawing air, and you're getting a little bit of radiant heat from it, but you're not, that radiant heat isn't traveling throughout the home. So,
yeah, so I would say if I'm
so trying, I would say no. I mean, my ultimately, we have a gas fireplace in our home in Chicago, and lighting the fire helps to heat that room.
Right, right.
But it doesn't help the rest of the house because it draws the hot air as combustion.
Which I was thinking, Lou, you know, sometimes you like a fire and you understand that this is cooling the rest of the house, but you don't care. We're in the living room for tonight. We're going to do this for a while and have a fire.
Absolutely.
Just at least, but all right, know the math on that. That's going to cost you more money in the long run, say, on your furnace bill, or it's going to ensure that your furnace runs more because you're not heating the house with that fireplace.
But if you're snuggling with someone special, who cares how much it costs?
Let's see here. Henrietta, I'm going to take this call just because we're getting a few of them like this, but we've already sort of addressed this. Henrietta says, why can't I lock my front door? Is that right, Henrietta?
Yeah, I opened it to get my newspaper off the front porch, and when I try to lock the lock, which is a deadbolt, it won't, you know, when I close the door and try to turn the knob, it won't engage.
But the deadbolt will engage if the door is open?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So yeah, when you go to close, I could see it, yeah.
Moving, like when you hold the door open, you can move it back and forth.
Yes.
Can you try closing the door, grabbing the knob, slightly lifting the door, and see if you can get it to latch?
Oh, I could try that. Yeah, I can't do it right now, but yeah, I can't do it right now. I'll try that. I tried using a hair dryer, blowing it on.
I bet more than likely it's the expansion and contraction around the jam, and so that alignment of the door is now off. And so if you try lifting the door, putting your shoulder into it, I mean, look, our houses are doing some crazy stuff right now. I was in early this morning at the WGN television studios, and I got cornered by a bunch of people. Man, I heard the thing popping all night long. Yeah. You know, a lot of people with vinyl siding and a lot of the synthetic trim. Yeah, it's just popping left and right.
Thanks for the call, Henrietta. Good luck to you. Bob had an observation, by the way, about our idea of letting your car run overnight or all day long or however long you need it to run. Bob, what was that? You're on the air.
Yeah, John. Just recently, I heard that Chicago passed an ordinance that said you cannot leave a car that is sitting outside running without someone in it.
I think you're onto something there. I think that's against the law in some places. Do you know about that, Lou?
I did know about something like that. I bet today they're not going to bother you.
I was parking in front of the Whole Foods last night, and I wasn't sure about my parking spot. And I thought, if the city of Chicago is writing parking tickets this week, I am outraged. If somebody is running into a grocery store or Target or whatever, and they're not perfectly parked, or I don't know what the deal is. Yeah. A, it's not healthy for the meter readers. You know, those people shouldn't be out in this for a couple of bucks. And we should just make it easy on the citizens of the city right now. When I get to be king, ain't no... And the temperature falls below... What's the number, Lou? If the temperature falls below zero, we aren't writing tickets.
Right.
We aren't writing
tickets. Yeah, free parking if it's below zero.
Why not? Yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of...
That could be your campaign slogan. Look, you could jump in. I'll sign your petition.
No, I want you to run.
Well, and like with leaving your car running, you're just kind of asking somebody to come take it in the city. There's lots of...
That's why they don't want you to do it. That's why they don't want you to do it.
I think the ordinance is unless you have the... Like the feature where you can start the car and keep it locked. I think that's what the
remote car start.
Is
correct.
There any chance that I can ask a question? Do we have time for that?
Jump in there, girl.
Okay, so I have family members who are getting frost in the corners on their ceiling on the outer walls of their house.
So outside walls, especially in the corners, when you think about the construction of how a home is constructed, if it's a frame wall, you have two 2x4s that come together, and that corner tends to be uninsulated. It is a kind of a loophole in construction. And so because it's so cold outside and the moisture level inside the home is so high because dry air is on the outside, that moisture hits that corner. There's no insulation to temper it, and that's where the ice forms. Now, good contractors like a former Lou Manfredini, we would always stuff those corners with insulation so that you wouldn't come back and yell at me.
Is there damage here, Lou? I mean, it'll dry up and go away in 2 days, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's long term, it's not. I mean, this is, for your relatives, I'm sure, Jen, it's the first time they've ever seen this.
Oh, they're scared. They're like, oh, no, what's happening here?
The headline on the front page of CNN right now is, life-threatening cold grips much of U.S. Or that was the scroll on CNN. And I'm like, would you guys stop it already? We know it's cold. We know it's dangerous if I'm jogging. Shut up. We know. We're fine. You're not. The level of anxiety we're sowing is worse than the cold temperature is on people's skin. I swear to God.
Okay. I totally get that. But however, real quick, I walk the dogs. I walk the dogs just around the block. And
it's a long walk.
And I put on insulated overalls that I have when I used to work construction. Very warm. All buttoned up. I had heavy duty gloves. Halfway through the block, my hands, it was as if I weren't, was not wearing gloves.
Okay, then fine.
What did you do?
Then you came back inside. Look.
Well, right. But I mean, if someone had to be out there, if you were, John, if you were like, oh, I got to go to work, and your car were to, run out of gas, or you get a flat tire, and you just say, well, okay. But people do dumb things.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I think my attitude is give people information and let them decide.
Agreed.
And mostly people are intelligent enough to know that 25 degrees below zero is a bad idea. Although I got to tell you, I was Ubering into work today with producer Elif, and we went by, and there are these passive-aggressive kind of joggers out. Literally, there were people jogging through Lincoln Park. Like,
that is crazy.
Look at me. And, the only reason to really care about that is, if they collapse, some first responders get, now that's their job today. So let's not do that to them, if nothing else. That's the end of my speech, Lou. Thanks for asking me to just go on about that. I am out of time, sir, and all of my phone lines are ringing. I presume you'll be talking more about this stuff on Saturday, although it's going to be warmer on Saturday.
Yeah, and if you need anything, call me. I'm here for you.
I'll tell you what, let's do this. I will read the text. You and I do a lightning round right after the news. Can you do that?
Deal.
Looks like we will threaten. Looks like we've got a shot at the record for the lowest high temperature ever. I believe the coldest high temperature we've ever had was 11 below zero. And unless it starts to warm up a little bit at O'Hare, we get that going for us. You cannot see me right now. I'm doing the hula, though. A little while ago, we asked you to join us on Facebook, and we were able to live stream some of that. I'm going to declare that first half hour of the show a video unmitigated disaster. You couldn't hear Lou's answers to some of your questions, and the video wasn't always perfect, but we've learned a little something today, and I think the next time we try this, it's going to be even better. Lou, are you still over there, by the way?
It can only go up.
The show, like the temperature, is going to go up.
Right.
Here are some questions that are still on hold. Steve says, I put a desk lamp between the wall and the tub, the laundry tub there. A pretty good idea, right? Some sort of heating element down there you've been advertising is a good idea, right?
Sure. I mean, the desk lamp. Well, I mean, a desk lamp doesn't give off a ton of heat. But I mean, if it works, great. The trickling of the water can probably do more. We need. What I'm more concerned with is any pipes that are inside the walls. If they're exposed pipes on the heated side of the room, you really shouldn't have any problem.
Tom says the police say it's always illegal to leave your car running. I lived in Minnesota for a while, and I think it was 5 minutes. If you leave your car running more than 5 minutes, you are in violation of the law. But I suppose most of the municipalities around here have rules or laws that say leaving your car running at great length, even if it's locked up, is against the law because someone's going to steal your car, and now they got to chase them. Elaine says, is it too cold to do laundry, Lou?
No. As long as the water... No,
I don't think that's a bad question. It sounds to me like that's still throwing more hot air outside, moisture's coming out, that could freeze. No, you don't love that question.
I have no... If the water's running and if nothing is frozen, you can live your life.
Rich says, who should I call if one of my tenants keeps their taps off? He wants his tenants to keep the water running, which you've been advertising, a thin stream. What if the people won't do it in the apartments?
Well, I mean, you have to ask them to do it. I mean, it isn't. Who do you call? You'd call a plumber if it freezes. I own rental property as well, and I sent a note to the tenants and said, hey, I really need you guys to do all this. and I followed up with emails before the weather came. I followed up again right before, you know, the day before, and even today to assure that everybody was doing that.
Hmm. It's right. I mean, who's paying the water bill? The tenants are.
No,
right?
The landlord.
The landlord does.
I mean, the tenants are via their rent, but ultimately the landlord. Most
your
landlords,
rent's not going to go up if you are running a thin stream of water. And
correct,
Lou. Is you? It really doesn't amount to that much water anyway when you do this, does it?
It does. I mean, I'll tell you what, John. If you're running a steady stream of water between the hot and the cold water. I guess for the tenants, if you're running the hot side, you are typically paying for that gas bill, depending on the setup of the apartments, okay? So, I mean, but the point is, you're going to be really inconvenienced if the pipes freeze and then the, you know, and then yeah. The landlord says, oh, you know, I got to shut off the water, and it's going to be, because believe me, the plumbers and the heating and cooling people are really busy right now.
Yeah,
and so having that steady stream, it is a waste of water. Try and collect some of it in a pot or a bowl so you can use it for something else.
Okay, Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. We'll listen for you Saturday morning here at WGN Radio. I appreciate you giving us some extra time today, Lou.
My pleasure. See ya.
That's Lou Manfredini.